Hello, welcome to Take It or Leave It. We're just sort of fucking around now, so we need to start, which is fine, because then we can record the fucking around, because we're funny people. Don't we make you laugh? Hi, everybody.
Hi. Sorry, you didn't hear me.
I'm just talking in general. I don't care who responds or what, it's fine. So I don't know if anything happened this week. I don't know if anyone can tell from the video. We're on live on YouTube. Hello, live on YouTube people. What we're actually going to talk about today. I don't anything. Oh yeah. Computer Titan Smackdown happened this week. I didn't know it was going to happen, you know.
I didn't know until you said something about it on Facebook and I went, oh, something must have happened.
Yeah. Something happened, all right. Oh, yeah. Wow. We had a Microsoft event followed by an Apple event the next day, and the Microsoft event wasn't shit.
I haven't seen the event, but I will say the product looks much better.
Yeah, it does. So here's what we have. So I suppose we start with Microsoft, don't we?
Let's go for it.
They went first. I'm actually just looking for a news story that kind of encompasses everything they announced. There was a new Surface. That's a Surface Book, isn't it? The laptop.
Yeah. Studio. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't see that one.
Surface Studio. There. I think it's called the Surface Studio PC.
Well, that isn't that the big one?
That's the big one.
Yeah.
Because they've gone from little all the way up to big.
Yeah.
I think this is why I'm trying to. What? Hang on. This is a Google search. What did Microsoft?
Surface Book. No, I've got it here. I'll post a link in the Hangout. If I can remember how to do that. There we go.
Uh huh.
Okay.
This is good. Right.
So 7 big announcements. Oh, don't click anything, Christ. So 7 big announcements. So Windows 10 Creators Update. I don't know what that means. Oh, for mixed reality gaming productivity solutions.
Yeah, it's sort of the big up and the next big update to Windows 10.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what they've done is they put lots of 3D stuff in there. There's a new version of Microsoft Paint for the first time in probably 40 years or however long it's been.
Been a while.
Yeah, and it lets you create 3D content. To be honest, Paint's one of those. If you need something like Paint, you've got Photoshop. Like if you need to do something clever with it, haven't you got Photoshop?
Paint's for people who just want to take a screenshot and circle the bit they don't know where they should click or something.
Pretty close, yeah.
That's what I always figured. Maybe Microsoft want it to be for more now, and now it does 3D stuff. And they showed off a really cool scanning of 3D object with a smartphone camera.
Cool.
But they showed it running on a Windows phone. And you find yourself asking, where'd you find that? Is there a...
Yeah, it's only available on Windows Phone. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like, no, they said they made it very clear that it will be on everything. Because if you just put it on Windows Phone, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was not all that exciting. But then I'm tuned to not be ever excited by things I hear about Windows. So.
Yeah. I mean, Windows 10 is fine. I use it. It's fine.
Mm, it works.
I'm sure it will continue to be fine.
I'm sure it will. New VR headsets. Cool. I mean,
starting at just $300.
Yeah.
I mean, for an all-encompassing headset, that's pretty cheap.
It really is, isn't it?
Because that will be a complete solution. You know, you don't have to slide a phone into it or whatever. That is a complete VR headset. So that's pretty good pricing. Everyone's sort of doing a VR headset these days, so it'd be interesting to see how well theirs stacks up.
Am I wrong for not being interested in the slightest?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's very exciting news, Rich. It is the future, and you know, at some point,
it's all going to be like Lawnmower Man.
Some point, there will be a use for them. but that is not today.
Yeah,
there is no reason to have it. Like, I don't even know what the PlayStation VR one does. That's how interested I am in the headset.
You can play Batman on it.
Content for them.
Yeah, there's a Batman game for it on the PS4, I think.
Great. But,
yeah.
I mean, I hear the adult industry is doing very well on VR.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Right, moving on.
Yeah, so, moving on. Gaming. What else did they do?
A service called Beam. Game streaming.
Built-in game streaming. Well, they already have streaming through NVIDIA. They have that right now.
Yeah.
And,
Windows, though, so you can stream.
Well, I know. And actually, recently, Blizzard added a feature to stream your Blizzard games, like through Blizzard itself.
Right. It's a big thing, isn't it? This live streaming.
It is. It can be interesting, I suppose.
I think we actually get a lot of mileage out of gaming YouTube videos for things like solutions to puzzles and walkthroughs and that sort of thing.
I think the thing is that the reason game streams are interesting is if you want to watch an entire playthrough, which is great, or you want to see if you want to buy the game, so you see what it is. Mm-hmm. Or the other good thing it's useful for is if you get some good players, they do strange and interesting things in multiplayer scenarios, and it's entertainment, really.
I don't wish to rubbish it. I totally see the value of it. And I think historically it has technically been a pain to do it. And if they want to build that right into Windows, that's cool.
Yeah,
but this basically makes anybody can stream if they want to, but not everyone is good at it.
Yeah, that's true. There's going to be a lot of garbage out there. But that's the case with anything, he said, on a podcast, you know.
The interesting thing about their one, though, is that obviously it all integrates into Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. And so when you start streaming, it sends it to your Xbox Live thing and informs all your friends who can watch from a PC, an Xbox, or a smartphone. But there's also, they announced this thing called Arena, which allows you to create custom tournaments and challenges on Xbox Live without, you know, having to do it through a specific game.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
So you can run a tournament, basically, which is kind of interesting.
I really want to do some more online gaming.
I mean, I'd love to. I just wish I had the time.
Yeah. It's difficult, isn't it? And yeah.
And also as well, I've got, you know, friends who are, I've played online with before, but it's all about what games you have in common as well.
True. Yeah. Well, that's why I play a lot of MMOs, because you're gaming, but you also are interacting with other people. So it's not like you're being totally antisocial.
There's a friend of mine met his wife or future wife on World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I met my husband online. Yes, Mr. Jen and I met online. There you go, folks.
Yeah, I'm at Allison online. It was, I'm like, how else do you do that sort of thing? It was like
go out and meet people.
Go to a pub. I don't know.
That's how I met my wife.
It's so random, though. Like, and like 95, at least 95% of people just wind me up. So meeting people at random, I'm more likely to find one that winds me up than anything else. At least online, you can specify, these are the things that wind me up. Don't do any of those. And we'll move from there. And there you go. It worked. New communication features in Windows 10. I don't know what this is. Oh, it's like continuity. Okay. Fine. Yeah. That's not that exciting. I'm more interested in the hardware, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, Surface Book.
Man, am I interested in the hardware.
Yeah, Surface Book. So, a brand new Surface Book. Now, these are the ones with the curvy hinge, aren't they? And the screen comes off.
Exactly. These are the ones where the keyboard and the bottom of it can completely detach, or it can bend back on itself to be a folder.
Oh, that thing. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, it now has latest Core i7 processors. More than 2 times better graphics than last year's model, 3 times better graphics than the highest powered 13-inch MacBook Pro, according to Microsoft. And the battery has 16 hours on a single charge. Begin shipping in November.
Sorry.
You know,
16 hours on a single charge. That's nuts.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to, the pros and the books and all that stuff, they're trying to kind of be similar to the iPad in that you can use it for mostly design and that kind of thing. But that's what they're marketing here, is that it's mostly for design.
It's running Windows 10, though. It's not like a separate OS. It's running Windows 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can plug an external hard drive into this over USB, mm-hmm. and it will mount, and you can just copy stuff to and from. You can use it for anything you can use a desktop PC for. It's, obviously, it's going to be slightly underpowered.
Well, yeah.
But you can move between them seamlessly.
Well, and hang on, you say slightly underpowered, but latest Core i7 processors.
It's slightly underpowered compared to your desktop.
But they're not saying they're not saying how much RAM is in them or anything in this.
But in the Surface Studio, they are.
Well, yeah.
I mean, this just looks really cool. I cannot complain about that computer for any other reason than it runs Windows 10 and I prefer Mac OS. But other than that, isn't it cool?
Okay. They're saying on this other article, the $1,500 version is actually an i5, not an i7.
And it doesn't have a separate GPU on it.
Okay. So that's sort of the lower model then. That's they're going to do that.
$900 difference.
Right.
But the one that excites me is the Surface Studio. This looks sensational.
Oh, the new PC? Yeah.
A 28-inch PixelSense touchscreen displaying 13.5 million pixels in an aluminium enclosure with a 1.3 millimeter thick LCD panel. It's the thinnest LCD panel, I think, available to mankind or something. True color technology, really accurate, all kinds of stuff. It looks gorgeous. It's iMac-y without being iMac-y in its design.
Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a massive screen on a bracket hinge that attaches to the core processing unit, I suppose. And you can have it set up like a normal screen and you can use it as a keyboard and a mouse, but you can then actually grab it and pull it towards you and bend it, tilt it backwards and use it as a touchpad or a touchscreen or whatever. And you can use it at whatever angle you want. If you want to stand and work instead of sitting and working, it'd be great for that. And the entire thing is a touchscreen. And it comes with a stylus and it comes with keyboard and a mouse and it comes with certain connections which I've forgotten, but I'll look up immediately.
Audio jack, SD card, mini DP, Ethernet, and 4 USB ports.
Fancy that, a selection of ports that are like quite generous in how they've been put on there. That's a weird thing to me.
Well, I mean, they're not necessarily groundbreaking connections. They're what I would expect, I would imagine. It's got, what, 4 USB 3 ports, is it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So 4 USB 3, oh yeah, here we go. Full-size SD card reader, mini display port, 3.5
There's a dog.
Yeah.
Ethernet and power. So this isn't going to replace any massive workhorse server that you need to connect many things to, but if you're working...
But one second. Paisley, shush. He won't.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rich's new pet.
Paisley, shut up. Come on, dude. He's not.
Did you tell him what you did for a living before we...
I've explained it all to him. This is the first time he's made it onto a podcast, I think. I have to be clear, he's not in the room. Oh, he is now. Hang on. This is potential end of the world shit.
Oh, we may see him on the camera.
Hello. God, he's big. I sound like I'm kind of afraid of this beast in my house. He's not like that at all, really. But he is big. And he is going to come over here. And he might actually get up on the camera.
Hello. Oh, I see a head.
I see him in the background.
Yeah.
Wagging.
There, he's off again. He does that. Are you doing anything interesting? No? Okay, bye. that kind of thing. So he'll go in a minute. Yeah, he's bored of me already. He's off. There we go. Yeah, I think he can see out of the stairs window, and he can see like onto the next streets. Yeah, so he just barks at it. Really, he's very clearly a dog that has spent 23 hours a day in a box. Really, albeit a large box at Dogs Trust. It's not fun for him. But anyway, this stuff. The dog will come back, I bet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So it has a selection of, I mean, you don't really need much more than USB ports and an Ethernet port and a mini display port if you want to connect another screen or whatever. They've covered it, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the insides of this are pretty spectacular as well. So Core i5 or i7. They have three models, effectively, don't they? So they have low, middle, and big. So 8 gig, 16 gig, or 32 gig RAM. The i5, which is the lowest one, comes with 8 gig of RAM, an NVIDIA GeForce 965M, so mobile processor, but that's 2 gig of DDR5 memory. The middle one comes with an i7, 16 gig of RAM, GTX 965M, 2 gig of RAM, a video RAM. And the top one is an i7, 32 gig of RAM, a GTX 980M with 4 gig of video RAM. I mean, that's pretty good.
It's amazing.
It's pretty good.
And let's be honest, all of that computer fits in that little base.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Amazing. But what gets me is that, guys, they're NVIDIA cards. These things are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Apple have lost me for my next computer, I think.
Wow.
Until they put an NVIDIA card in a machine, I'm just not interested. They can put we'll get onto it, the Radeon Pros in there, but they're so shit compared to the NVIDIA cards.
Wait, let me check out the window. Is it the end of the world? Are you both back to basically saying you want Windows machines now?
I've got a Windows machine at work, but I want this. I want this.
Yeah.
This looks great.
It's fucking gorgeous. It really is.
They've got that weird thing, the Surface Dial. I mean, I'm not sure how I'd get on with that, but it's a thing that you put on the screen and you can turn and it does things.
That thing looks great.
It does.
The dial.
It does. I don't know exactly what it does, but it does stuff.
Well, I get the thing. I get the feeling it sort of depends on the app you're in as to what it does.
I know. I get that. It's a bit weird that Why have you got that when the whole thing's a touchscreen and you can pinch to zoom and rotate and stuff? Why do you need that extra thing? I mean, it looks cool.
Well, sometimes out of
Minority Report or something, but
sometimes a physical thing is preferable.
Yeah, I can't.
Just for happiness of the user, that sort of thing. I mean, like, you wouldn't want to give up your hardware keyboard.
Do you know what though? I suppose you could use it as a jog and shuttle dial in Premiere, or
exactly.
They use it as a color wheel, don't they? In Photoshop, I think that was one of the example. Or it wasn't Photoshop, but it was a graphics package that was unnamed.
Do you think they just have a day at Adobe where people from all the big computer operating system people come and try and get them to build something into Photoshop that works on the next version of the operating system? And they all just come in, please, look, we've got this touch bar and we just need you to make it so that there are a couple of buttons for Photoshop, and then you can come and show them off. And then the same, then Microsoft people come in and go, look, we've got this dial. Can you just in Photoshop put a couple of things in so we can show off the dial, and then you can come and it'd be great. And then maybe Google turn up later and like, look, we've got this Android phone coming out. Yeah.
When they do a keynote and they go, oh, we showed this to a developer and this is what they came up with in a week.
Yeah. It's like, no, there's someone at Adobe whose job it is to just build a version of Photoshop with something in for that new OS from Apple and that sort of thing. Because I sort of base that on the fact that they show them off and they go, and this will come to Photoshop next year. And you think, no, you've done it. It's there. You've just shown it working. What's the fucking problem? Put the update out. Do it. But it means you haven't really finished it, have you? You've just got that bit that does that. And that's it.
So the interesting thing about the dial, though, is that it works with all their range. So you don't have to have the Surface Studio for it to work. The only benefit is that with the Surface Studio, you can put it on the screen and it has additional functionality.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. But it will
work with any of them.
This is Microsoft we're talking about, right? The Windows guys.
Nuts, isn't it?
I just have to keep checking this. And I
keep the ergonomic keyboard looks pretty nice.
They've always made good peripherals, though, haven't they? Let's be honest. Microsoft mice have been incredible over the years. I honestly had one that lasted about 12 years, I think. And then I think I only stopped using it because there were sort of mice had evolved a bit and they did more, there were more buttons on them and that kind of thing. And it had 12 years of mankiness on it.
Oh,
so, like, just get a new mouse, Rich. This one's probably.
I don't know. The mouse and the keyboard look exactly like a Mac.
Yeah, but the ergonomic keyboard doesn't. But you're right, the other one does, the one that comes with it. But then why does the keyboard need to look any different from that? Like, if you buy a Samsung keyboard, it looks exactly the same. It's just a different color.
Hmm.
Yeah, I do miss big clunky keys, you know. But hey.
I don't. I couldn't give a shit. I didn't type.
I have a clunky keyboard. I love it.
I use a keyboard for selecting the tool I'm using on the screen and a bit of typing in. I don't really care if there's some sort of feedback on a spring type device. It's a keyboard. Get over it.
Okay, I will. So that was Microsoft. Incidentally, apparently, they had to sort of reshuffle their event at the last minute because they didn't want to land it on the day when Apple were having one. So they had to wait for Apple to announce and then go, right, do it Wednesday.
Wow. I will say, though, that the Surface Studio, it's a bit pricey.
Well, yeah. $3,000 $3,000.
That's not the most expensive one. That's starting at 3,000. So that's for the one that you won't want.
Ah, right. Are we looking at 4,000? Because this is how much my new MacBook Pro is going to cost anyway. So.
Fair enough.
What can I say?
Let me just have a quick look. Where is it? Surface Studio. Yeah, that's it. Pre-order. Let's click on pre-order. See what happens. Oh dear! Right, so it starts at $2,999. The middle one goes up to $3,500, and the top one is $4,200. But, I mean, what's an iMac these days?
£1 million. They've just stuck 500 quid on them.
Well, yeah.
Let me bring that up.
500 quid on a 3-year-old Mac Pro as well.
Yeah, they have. Thank you, Brexit, by the way. That's been awesome. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, this is actually a separate news story that Apple have just stuck up to £500 on each machine. Just to equate for the fact that the pound is now worth fuck all money, basically. There's no other reason for it. That is it. And so, yeah, let's see. So the equivalent model MacBook Pro of mine now, so mine was $2,000. And now that same machine would cost me £2,699.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Why can't I see this in dollars? Ah, here we go. Let me click that and choose USA.
So that was Microsoft. Now we have Apple with
with what the MacBook Pro.
What are they doing to me? What are they doing to me with this? it occurred to me that every Apple event, it used to be exciting. It used to be, what are they going to release that I just can't not buy? And now it's about, what are they going to take away and make difficult for no damn good reason? And
well, hang on. I quite like the idea of the touch bar and touch ID. I'll give them that.
Continue. Okay, right. So we have new MacBook Pros. We thought there were going to be more things announced at the event than this, but just MacBook Pros. They took an hour and a half to show us MacBook Pros. I thought the event was, if I'd have flown out to the event as a journalist, I'd have been well fucked off. Seriously annoyed. They just spent an hour and a half showing off the touch bar. And I get that it was nice, but you could describe...
Did it work seamlessly? Did it work without any errors whatsoever?
It seemed to. And yet you feel like you could learn all you need to know about it from something the length of a tweet. It's an OLED touchscreen bar that goes, it replaces the F keys, and it can have buttons on it.
So the F keys are gone, but this is now an OLED screen that goes across the top that is effectively, you remember all those like Kickstarter projects where they had a keyboard where it could change depending on what you were doing, and the keys could be
the Optimus keyboard.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was it. Not the idea of that, but this has sort of negated that, really, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah,
because it's like having a completely separate display that you can put whatever you want on there, depending on what program you're in, depending on what notification. That's the thing I love, is the fact that you could have your notifications appear on that.
Oh,
they don't have to bug you on the screen. It just comes up there. Like, for example, I think they showed that if you're getting a phone call, it will come up saying this person's calling. And then a section of it is like a reject call or answer call, and you can just do that on the touch bar.
Yeah.
It's a clever way of integrating touch ID as well. You can like tap on it to change user areas pretty quickly based on your fingerprint and stuff like that. And it's I think it's more than a novel idea. I think it's a clever idea. But holy shit, the price that it comes with is ridiculous.
This is down to the cost of the pound. That's why this costs so much fucking money.
But even in dollars, though, they've gone up. Expensive. Yeah, you can't get a MacBook for £1,000 now. And they've got rid of the MacBook Air, by the way. That's discontinued.
Not
you can
surprised.
No longer buy a laptop with a CD drive, which I'm not that bothered about, because do people still use that?
Some do, but...
Aren't they keeping one MacBook Air around? They are. There's one 13-inch MacBook Air still for sale.
But it doesn't have a CD drive.
No, it doesn't. And there's two models of it, at $949 and $1099.
And they don't do a plug-in either for a plug-in CD drive or DVD drive anymore. They've discontinued
that. Yeah, but they made a point in the keynote of saying we'll keep this model MacBook Air around, but you don't want it, you know. And then they they really did, and then compared it to the new 13-inch MacBook Pro, which is thinner, lighter, smaller, and just generally better at being a MacBook Air than the actual MacBook Air is.
Yeah,
and said really you want one of these, and so they've done one with it. So there's three new ones. There's the one without the touchpad.
What's the point?
Well, that's for you people who would have got a MacBook Air, I think.
Okay.
It's £1,449 in pounds, so 2 gigahertz processor, 256 gigabyte SSD, Intel Iris graphics, and 2 Thunderbolt 3 ports. So that is kind of a beefier MacBook nothing, is what that is.
Now, it's worth pointing out, like, again, but you look at the next one up, what is the point? Spend the extra £300. But it's worth noting that it says 2 Thunderbolt 3 ports, but they're also USB-C ports, because they're compatible with the USB framework.
They are. I have, yeah, but, right, one of them's got to be a power. So when it
have to be,
well,
but I see the point.
Yeah, it's
no different from what the Air had, though. The Air had a power port and one USB port when it launched, didn't it?
When it launched, this is a MacBook Pro, right? And it's got one port on it. It's a MacBook Pro. It costs £1,500. Yeah. What the hell are they doing? You know, even the next one up, they come with 8 gigs of RAM in a MacBook Pro. We've just looked at the Surface that has 32 as its base configuration.
Scroll down a bit on that page, Rich, and tell us about the other models and see if you can get a 13-inch with anything more than 8 gigs.
Well, let's have a look. Let's really spend some money on a 13-inch customized MacBook Pro. We can have... Well, we can get a Core i7 in there for an extra £270. We can get 16 gigs of RAM for an extra £180. So right now, my 13-inch MacBook Pro with Intel Iris graphics costs £2,399. There you go. Fun all the way. Then the 15-inch. It's just... Because you want the... These are the ones that really piss me off, because I can forgo the 13-inch because I don't care. I want a bigger one. And these are also underpowered and everything. The top one with the discrete graphics card. It's so expensive. £2,699. I'd have to forgo the processor upgrade. So I'd have the 2.7 gigahertz quad-core i7. Stick with the 512 SSD, which is what I've got now. £90 extra for the Radeon Pro 460 with 4 gigabytes of memory. God. What is that? What is it? I couldn't find anything that it compares with at all.
Hang on. Let me see if I can find that website.
So right now, my computer costs £2,789.
Oh, here we go. Right. So what was the Radeon?
It's the Radeon Pro 460. I found something on Reddit that was sort of comparing it to the NVIDIA 1060.
Hmm.
Radeon Pro.
Which is a mid to low range card.
It doesn't exist, apparently.
I think they're unique to this machine.
Is it the RX 460?
Nope.
No, probably not.
As a side note, I think we're the only ones watching the YouTube channel right now.
Did everyone go?
No, we scared everyone off.
Someone wants us to subscribe to their channel.
Oh, yeah, well.
Don't worry, it's recording. It'll be played back later. It's fine. And 4 ports on it. 4. One of them's power. Then 3 other whatever you can be asked to buy an adapter for.
if you buy into the USB-C or the Thunderbolt 3 ecosystem, you can daisy chain quite easily. But I like. For fuck's sake, Apple.
Am I going to need all new stuff? Is that essentially what... Because I'd need an adapter to plug even, like, my portable USB drive into it.
Can you use this with the new Apple earphones?
Yeah.
Oh, so Lightning is the same as USB-C?
No. Oh, you mean those earphones? No, you won't be able to put those into it. But I think it has a headphone jack. I think it has a headphone, so... You can still use real headphones with it.
Talk about not getting the memo. Either they do one thing or they do another, but they should really discuss what each department's doing.
Yeah. So I'm just totally underwhelmed by this really expensive computer that isn't much better than the one I bought 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And still doesn't really have... When I say decent graphics, I understand that that graphics chip in this new MacBook Pro is faster and more powerful than the one in the MacBook Pro I'm recording this show on. I get that. It's an upgrade for me, But I think in a £2,700 computer, sorry, nearly £2,800 computer, you can expect something indisputably kick-ass. And this is not that. You know? I think that now HP have got something. I think
I'm just thoroughly underwhelmed by it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it looks nice, but I don't. It doesn't make me want one. Not at all. Because I'm suddenly aware of what a pain it's going to be to make a transition to it. I shouldn't have to make a transition to my next laptop from Apple. Mm. You know, and so it's enough of a pain that I feel like I'm kind of in the market. Like I'm open to something now. I don't know what. I don't know how I'd live on Windows, what that would be like, but I'm more curious now than ever before. I'm on HP's website now looking at the Omen. It's a horrible, horrible website. I'm trying to find one I can customize. See, big laptops. Core i7. 17.3-inch monitor, 16 gigs.
Those are gaming PCs, though. Yeah. That's why they're so.
See, but I like that. Do I just want a gaming PC? Do I need to just drop the idea altogether and get this MacBook Pro and play games on a PlayStation? Do I even need a new computer? I don't need a new computer. That's the other thing. This one's fine. It works great. It's amazing, actually. I still love this computer to pieces. And, oh, Apple, why do you do this? Why can't you just make a big one? I don't need it to be small and light.
Well, remember, Macs and MacBooks are mainly for designers and people who use them for publishing and graphic design and that kind of thing. They're not really meant for gaming.
But why not?
I don't know. You want to go ask them? I mean,
really irritating that they just don't see this massive community wants this thing.
It's not so much the frustration that I can't play high demand graphical games on it. It's kind of the frustration that I feel like what is there is not worth the money in terms of hardware. Yeah. I feel that if this is the best
from Windows, or sorry, PC laptops that have 4K screens now, and that's kind of a standard.
Absolutely, there's nothing particularly special about this. Yes, the touch bar is nice, but is that a game changer? Is that, well, you could have a computer with really good graphics capabilities, or one with a touch bar. Are you going to choose the touch bar?
No. I
don't know. It just feels like this should be better than it is for the money it costs.
I agree.
It really does. And I get that we're kind of, you're paying for Mac OS as well, because that's always going to be a free upgrade to you, whatever. And you sort of incorporate that into the price of the computer. But this is just a pain. And it looks great, but it's going to be a pain. It really is. And it's, you know, Apple don't really make any computers I want to buy right now.
No.
And this was a chance for them.
A couple of times recently, I just don't want to buy a Mac.
So this didn't do anything to sort of deal with that at all. So I'm sticking where I am for now. There's no need to move off this computer at all, apart from the fact that my arrow keys are a little bit sticky. But that's because somebody spilled juice in them.
Ooh.
It was me. It's okay. So I've just been down about the Apple event, to be perfectly honest with you. And then still, it was like I sat through an hour and a half demo of a thing with buttons on it. What the...
Emoji bar.
Great. I mean, it's not that it's a shit idea. I like it. And it's actually an idea that I think either Acer or Asus have done in the past. they've done this before. This is not a new idea from Apple. However, because Apple are working at the OS level, they can implement something like this much more successfully. So, you know, if anyone can make it work, they can. And it looks nice, like I say, but I don't care. I'm not like, now how can I live without a touch bar? What, you know, how can life go on without that? I'm not bothered, really. There you go, audience. The fuck is going on? I feel kind of sad now.
It is sad.
It is. It's sad. It's sad. New emoji bar. It looks lovely, but for fuck's sake. I've got to do more with it than just typing.
What else have we got?
Okay, I'll shake myself out of that. Hang on. I shook myself out of it. Okay, right. I'm way back in the Microsoft news here. Let's move it forward a bit. Have you got an Amazon Alexa thing yet, Nick?
And do you know, I almost bought one, but then I went, oh, hang on, this is a bit shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're limited to one user, effectively. So if
you
put something in your calendar or your shopping list or your playlists or whatever, it's the same one. Whereas if you had multiple users and it can differentiate between different people's voices and stuff, I might be a bit more interested in that. And then I went, oh, hang on, I'll just use an iPhone.
Fair enough. What was that? Nintendo will reveal the Switch's price and release date on January 12th. Hey.
Was that discussed last week, Switch?
I think we've discussed it, but if you want to talk about it, I'm happy to.
No, just that it looked pretty cool.
It does look cool. I kind of want one. I found myself looking at 3DSs online just to see. I like Nintendo again, and I feel bad that I ever didn't.
Well, I don't. God, I mean, we've had to wade through the shit that is the Wii and the Wii U.
Oh, God, yeah.
But what they've done here is they've gone, hang on, we can really make portables. Let's just put like an HDMI port on it as well. And then it'll be good again.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I would like to get one. I would definitely like to get one more than I'd like to get a new MacBook Pro. I can tell you that much. What else do we have? Oh, no, I'm into Apple event here.
Well, I was going to mention Twitter. They have discontinued Vine.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
Oh, God. Oh, I'm so upset.
I can tell.
What am I going to do? What am I going to do for those
little hours of planning
the 6 second video?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Like, I mean, I don't even remember the last time I loaded Vine. I don't know if it's on my phone still. Probably is, because it was that boring. I didn't even bother spending the time uninstalling it.
Well, there's a lot of people have, you know, they have YouTube stars. They also have Vine stars, so they're going to be shit out of luck, aren't they?
Yeah,
except that, like, they had that Nash Greer fella, didn't they, who starred in a film recently, made the jump from Vine to Hollywood or whatever.
That's quite a jump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, there's a YouTube star who's now got her own series on Netflix. I mean, it's getting around. There's some YouTube stars that have jumped to movies and or Netflix or cable or whatever, and that's pretty cool, I think, that they're getting that type of recognition.
It is, but I think that they're the sort of people that would probably be discovered without a specific technology. So I think if Vine didn't exist, they'd be discovered through some other service.
Maybe not. I don't know.
It's a testament to why you shouldn't really put all your eggs in the basket of somebody else's platform.
Yeah.
That's a very common phrase around where I come from.
Quite.
And I would say the same to YouTubers and people on Instagram and all of that sort of thing. Be prepared for it to be turned off one day, because you don't control that. And there is no law that says Google must have YouTube. you know, and okay, it's unlikely, it's crazy, the thought that they would just wake up one day and go, do you know what, I'm done with YouTube, let's just switch it off and not really say anything. That's not going to happen, I understand, but it could. And all your work's on it. So just get your own website. And I'm kind of saying this as a podcaster who doesn't really do it on the back of anybody's platform. You've got to have backups for these sorts of things. And Vine is just another example of someone turned it off on you. It happened there. It could happen somewhere else. You know, Facebook could decide this video thing's not going anywhere, so just switch it all off. They do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Far too much, in fact.
Speaking of app news, WhatsApp have been warned by European privacy watchdogs that they shouldn't share data with Facebook because that's a really shit idea.
Is it?
Well, it's to do with European privacy. Well, not that it matters to us much anymore, but European privacy laws and how your data is handled and such. And WhatsApp have started sharing data with Facebook, which they always said they wouldn't do.
Right.
And now the European watchdogs have gone, hang on a minute, you can't do that. So.
Well, there you go. Another reason why Brexit is bad. See how they were protecting us there, and now not so much. Just saying.
The other big announcement this week was from Tesla.
Tesla?
Oh, for Elon Musk. Yeah, he's doing solar panels.
Solar roof tiles.
Yeah.
Genius. So
it looks amazing.
Why aren't all roof tiles solar roof tiles?
No, get it right. So they're roof tiles. They're solar roof tiles. So they work as solar panels, and they, you know, with their other device, you can store all the extra energy in a battery device to power your home. But they cost less to install than a normal roof tile.
That is awesome.
What? I want these now.
Elon Musk, he's going to rule the world someday. Just watch.
They come in all different colors and styles, and you can do what you want with them in terms of that, but it would be cheaper than fitting a traditional roof, and you get added on top of that all the savings of solar.
Wow. Because we tried to get solar here and they couldn't do it. We actually had people out.
Oh God!
No. Yeah.
It was really obvious.
Yes,
sorry.
That was
really
what obvious. The problem was.
And I know that's how solar panels don't work.
Yeah. But yeah, they couldn't do it because there's a window in the roof of Helix, as it were.
Right.
You can see it behind me in the window and the video.
Oh, you have a skylight, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And so, because of the shape of the panels available and the position of the window and where it is in the roof, they couldn't fit panels around it on the roof. So, no panels.
How long
ago
was this?
A couple of years ago, when you could still get a subsidy for doing it.
Yeah, because it's now like still a shitload of expense, but you don't get subsidies now.
So it's like a 25 grand investment over 15 years or something like that.
And you have to stay in the house for about 20 years for it to pay for itself or start paying for itself.
Hey, my mum and dad did it. They love it.
Great.
They really
got it.
Yeah, they really enjoy it. As much as one can enjoy a source of power. you know.
I really love my a cable that comes to my house. I think it's wonderful looking cable.
as cables go,
as far as cables, good looking wire. That
this is like a review I left on a vape store not long ago when I got the cursory please review your order, and I'd ordered some bottles. And it was sort of, these bottles open with the familiar twist cap motion. As opposed
that's
to them,
really all you put? Really?
No, I carried on. I did like several paragraphs of review of an empty bottle. It was it was quite well done, actually. I like to think they got quite the laugh out of it. I didn't go and check to see if it's still on their website. But what can I review? It's a bottle of goo. Just It's got a lid. You can see in it. It's not shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle. It went on. It was very funny at the time.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick.
Did you know that tourists get better mobile reception than we do in our country?
Utter bullshit.
What? What?
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, no. The headline I saw said foreigners.
Foreigners.
Not tourists. Foreigners get Daily better.
You looked at Daily Mail. I looked at BBC. That's clearly where this. Yeah. Right. So foreigners, thanks Brexit, get a better signal in our country.
That's Europe's fault and that's the immigrants' Brexit. Fault. That's Actually, what that is.
Basically, MPs have gone, just allow mobile roaming across networks in the UK and this will solve all your problems. And all the networks have gone, hang on a minute, we've paid for this. This is our infrastructure. No, why would we do that?
Yeah. And I'm in the middle of, I get your argument, phone companies, I really do, but I want mobile coverage everywhere.
Well, really, if that's the biggest problem you guys are dealing with compared to what we're dealing with over here, I mean, we have the end of the world coming in a week and a half. Come on!
We're halfway there, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, we'll get there before you do. Don't worry about it. I know you're thinking you're going to jump ahead for a bit, but no, we'll get there.
Okay, actually, it's really funny. This is not exactly tech-related, but in Denmark, they did some ads talking about U.S. who are overseas to get them to vote. And what they did is they put these big placards on their buses, which are like the top of Trump's head, like his hair. And then his eyes are the back wheels, and they're like googly eyes. And it says, please vote.
This is in Denmark.
Denmark, Copenhagen. They have them on their buses. It's hilarious. I was like, wow, they're really telling you who to vote for there. They clearly don't like a certain candidate.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. Google Denmark Trump bus, which means something different here. That is brilliant. Americans abroad, vote. For the love of God, vote. And don't vote for him.
But look at the picture. It's hilarious.
It is. That's very well done.
Googly eyes. Look at that.
I have a iMessage thing that does googly eyes on people's photos.
And I really love the fact that I can reply with animated GIFs now.
Nice.
So do I.
I'm really enjoying my iPhone 7 with iOS 10.
Oh, you on a 7 now?
Yeah.
How is it?
Annoying. Well, there's great. I'm just having to. I have to remind myself that the way I want to do things is incorrect, and the way Apple wants me to do things is a lot better.
For example,
I used to push the home button to turn my screen on and see what notifications I had.
Yeah.
If I do that now, it unlocks the screen, and all my notifications have disappeared, and then I have to go into the notification center and
I
have to learn to push the side button.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can and just then, raise then, it to and, wake it, can't you?
That's... Yeah, I can't do that now.
I got two more months till I get my 7, so.
I've got a dog sent in to see me. He's still a bit.
Oh, and we're having a lot of visits from pets today.
It is.
What else? So the raise to wake, that's fine. I've gotten over that now. That's fine. So they don't ever explain how to interact with notifications either. Because I jumped the 6S because I was on the zero release of iPhones, not the S release of iPhones. So I've never used the Force Touch. I was trying to swipe like hell on notifications to reply or do anything, and nothing was happening. And then one day I just accidentally did the Force Touch and went, oh, that's how you do it.
I love Force Touch.
It's great.
Use it.
It's great.
Well, there you go. You sound not that excited about the iPhone 7.
It's really not.
Well, hey, look at it this way, Nick. It doesn't blow up.
But yeah, that's true. I mean, the thing is, I've got an iPhone 7 now, so basically the latest software runs without being sluggish.
Mm.
Which is always nice. And yeah, you've got Touch ID, which is not Touch ID, sorry. I mean 3D Touch. I got confused. It's easy to do. That's pretty much all the news, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
That's everything we want to talk about. We've got an email.
We did get an email. Very exciting email.
This is from Jim from the UK. Jim from Uck. And he says, hi all, I've been thinking about cancelling my phone contract to go SIM only. My current contract is 500 minutes of talk, unlimited text, 500 megs of data, which is costing me £410 over 2 years. I'm trying to find ways of cutting down my phone bill. Then I think SIM only is the way to do that.
I mean, based on discussions I've had with you recently, Rich, and I think Simon as well, is that mobile phone contracts in the UK have become extortionate because they've realized that they can't get discounts from manufacturers anymore on handsets. So you're basically paying the full price of the handset over the course of your contract, which is great. It's a bit like finance, a bit like layaway. But then Apple have introduced this what do they call it? The iPhone replacement program or something like that. And that's obviously what they want to do now. And that works out to be an interesting idea. But it's the cheapest way of doing all of this is to get SIM only contract and buy the phone outright.
Yeah, without a doubt.
If you can afford it. Of course, some people don't have that kind of cash available.
Of course.
But it is by far and away the cheapest way of doing it. And I think if you can do it, and if you're not bothered about having the latest generation phone, then getting a secondhand smartphone from any reputable secondhand place, I think is fair enough.
Absolutely. Jim's saying he's concerned with the condition of the battery on a secondhand phone if it was a non-replaceable model. Yeah, that's going to be an issue.
Depends how old you're going, though.
It does depend on how old you're going and how much it was used, etc., what condition it's in to start with. But yeah, there is no denying that batteries degrade over time. And if you are starting with a phone that is already 2 years old, then you're starting with a phone that's had 2 years worth of degrading on its battery.
But again, it depends on how high usage the phone has had from its previous user, etc.
There's kind of no way to tell that, especially if you've gone into like a computer exchange and found a secondhand phone like that. They don't know what use it's had and how long it holds a charge.
The reason I'd advise going to a reputable dealer is because they normally will offer anywhere between a 30-day and 90-day warranty on the hardware.
Yeah.
So you'll know within a couple of weeks if the battery's shit or not. And you can take it back and complain.
Yeah, I think Game do stuff like that now as well. In fact, I know they do. There's a lot of good places to go for this sort of thing. It is a good way of doing it.
Especially as you don't seem to use much data.
Yeah, I mean, God, that's not much data at all.
I mean, for that, you could happily get a Vodafone contract. That was a dig at Vodafone, not offering any data.
Oh, right, okay. But yeah, go for it. Just check how it works out. And that's I'm assuming you're going to get an iPhone. I don't know. The thing is there, if you get an iPhone with a shit battery, you can at least, you have the option of walking into an Apple store and saying, I would like a replacement battery, please. And I'm not promising that will be free at all. In fact, I'm kind of promising it won't be, but you have the option of getting a new battery fitted.
I mean, or risking it and doing it yourself, because some models you can easily do it yourself online. I know people who have done it. I wouldn't personally do it, but you can do it.
Whereas with, say, a Samsung phone or an HTC phone, there's no store you can take that into to get a new battery put in it, but then they're more likely to have replaceable batteries. So depends what you want to use and what you want to do with it. You know, but yeah, I think buying secondhand phones is a fine idea. I've nearly bought myself an iPhone 5C on a number of occasions, pre-owned, because I just adore them so very much. And I kind of, they're the phone I want to own but have no justification to. So I don't know. I've often felt like treating myself to a secondhand one just to use on occasion. But dear God, that's frivolous, isn't it? That's terrible. That's terrible. I'm happy with my phone. Let's not get into that. So that's all the email we've got this week. If you want to send us an email, at which point you're very likely to. See, we answered that one very well. Yep. And it's take it or leave it at simplysyndicated.com. That's how you can do it. That's the best way to do it, through email. So, yeah. Well, what do I say now? Oh, yeah. We need your support and help by going to sign up at simplysyndicated.com/everything. That's the bit I do now. You know, it's the thing where you give us £6 a month and you just get hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of content in return. That's what we do, including ad-free versions of this show and movie news and all the other things we've got running at the moment. Do Ask, Do Tell. They're all on there. It's all there. So thank you for your help with that, those of you who subscribe, and thank you to those of you who are going to go and do it now. Serious face. And we've got a Patreon at patreon.com/simplysyndicated, which is a little bit cheaper and has some other stuff on it as well. And once again, I've reminded myself that I need to go and put more stuff on it, and I'm going to go and forget to do that in the next half an hour. That's going to happen. Feel free to tweet me and poke me about that, Patreon people. Please do. I always forget. I'm just shit at remembering. That's the problem. And yeah, that's right. So that's pretty much it. I think I can say this live streaming thing has been useful. And okay, there are 5 people there now, but this was the first time and nobody knew. So I'm thinking next week it might be even more popular.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I don't know. So
I think it's a great idea.
I mean, we've done live for years. One way or another,
the idea that people can see the stories as we go along.
Yeah, and it feeds my ego for having them see me as well. So that's all good. So you can check us out on my YouTube, which is it Tech Support Rich 2014, something like that. Yep. There's a link on my blog. Tech Support Rich 2014. There was a mix up with things. I had an account with Tech Support Rich and a weird Google Plus thing went on, and I ended up, never mind, it's a long story no one gives a shit about. So without further ado, we'll be back next week with more show, one way or another. Until then, we'll see you later. Bye bye.